The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 10, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 9th, 2006, in Mumbai, India.
So, tonight, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 9, the most confidential knowledge. Text number 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetuna Nena Konteya Jagadvi Parivartate. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Purport. It is clearly stated here that the Supreme Lord, although aloof from all the activities of the material world, remains the Supreme Director. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Will and the background of this material manifestation, but the management is being conducted by material nature. Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita that of all the living entities in different forms and species, quote, I am the Father, unquote. The Father gives seeds to the womb of the mother for the child, and similarly, the Supreme Lord, by His mere glance, injects all the living entities into the womb of material nature, and they come out in their different forms and species according to their last desires and activities. All these living entities, although born under the glands of the Supreme Lord, take their different bodies according to their past deeds and desires. So the Lord is not directly attached to this material creation. He simply glances over material nature. Material nature is thus activated and everything is created immediately. Because he glances over material nature, there is undoubtedly activity on the part of the Supreme Lord. But he has nothing to do with the manifestation of the material world directly. This example is given in this smriti. When there is a fragrant flower before someone, the fragrance is touched by the smelling power of the person, yet the smelling and the flower are detached from one another. There is a similar connection between the material world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, he has nothing to do with this material world, but he creates by his glance and ordains. In summary, material nature without the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot do anything. Yet the Supreme Personality of Godhead is detached from all material activities. Om Jnanati Madandasya Madandajava Shabhag Chakshuru Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vena Maha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So, we have to understand this material nature properly. In relationship with the Supreme Lord, the material scientists, they try to understand it by kicking out God. Get out of here, they say. Get out. Just like we were told yesterday, the IIT base, it's probably the same here too. They don't want the devotees preaching on the campus. Is that true here? Yeah. We are scientists here. Get God out of here. We are scientists. You see, this is the mood. They want to try to understand material nature. And any mention of God, oh, get out. Listen. Get out of here. So I ask you, my dear young man, is that scientific? To blindly reject God? And is it scientific to blindly accept God? To blindly accept or to reject God, that is not scientific. So we understand the scientists may object when people blindly accept God. But they are equally culpable and actually even more culpable by blindly rejecting God. The proper position is to understand God how? Scientifically. But you know one problem? If someone is envious of God, they will never understand. Not for a million eons will they ever understand. God understanding is only given to those who are devotees. Krishna says, Sarvashataham Finam Sanavishto Matatma Matir Gyanamaparanam. I give them remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So, if they want to forget God in the name of their so-called science, actually it's simply rascalism. It is not science. We will not, I think we should replace it, call it rascalism. It's like they have that famous journal, the Scientific American. We should call it the rascalistic, rascalistic American. In this way. We should call it rascalism. A better word for it. Masculine. So, we do not want to understand God blindly. That is not understanding. That is simply fanaticism, sentiment. Sentiment or sometimes fanaticism. Prabhupada explained that to have religion without philosophy is sentiment and sometimes fanaticism. And to have philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So philosophy and science are the same, actually the same thing. The original scientists were philosophers. The original material scientists were philosophers. So same thing. Science without religion is mental speculation. And religion without science is sentiment and sometimes fanaticism. So therefore, we want to be solidly situated with a well-balanced program. We want to have religion and we want to have science both. We want to scientifically understand God. Prabhupada gave very nice, he gave some very nice arguments. One argument he gave is this: every machine requires operator. It's like tonight we came in a Maruti van, huh? Acharya Das, he was the driver. The van requires a driver, an operator. It doesn't just go on its own. We can't just say, okay, van, go to the, it's the Dilbavan base? Bandiravan base. Okay, van, go to Bandiravan base. And it just takes it. No, it requires driver, operator. And similarly, this watch, it requires operator. Actually, this is self-binding. If I don't wear it and I don't move it around, it'll just go dead after a while. I have to move it. By moving it around, it winds it. So, every machine requires operator, whether it's a recording device like this machine here, a Maruti van, a microphone, a fan. There's all operators required for all these machines. So, the universe is a big machine, isn't it? It operates like a machine, moving parts. The sun comes and loops the loop every 24 hours. There's seasons. There's the annual cycles, you know. So, Prabhupada explains, therefore we can guess the gigantic machine also has operator. Isn't that logical? In science, they will observe some phenomenon and they will take statistics. And because experimenting in this way they get the same result, in that way they get the same result, then they finally conclude it is universal principle. They cannot observe every single occurrence of the phenomenon. But they simply observe what they feel is a reasonable, exhaustive number of occurrences of that phenomenon in varieties of circumstances. And when they see the common pattern happening, they extract a universal principle and they name it after themselves. Newton's law. See, even though it's not really his law, it's God's law. See, that's why we call it rascalism. As they say, it's my law, you know. It's because of me that the apples fall from the tree. Because I figured out the gravity of Newton's law. So, even if we take their approach and we take it, we apply it to every machine requiring an operator, every machine we've been able to observe, it requires operator. So why it is scientific or philosophical or the intelligent, cool-headed, level-headed conclusion that the gigantic machine also requires an operator? That is a scientific conclusion based on observation, experiment, and hypothesis. Even if we take the method of the rascal scientists and we apply it to understand what is God, we will understand there is God. Why? Because we're not envious. Because they cannot. Another argument is a very simple thing. Everything comes from something. If any one of you have experience of something that comes from nothing. Anyone have that experience of something coming from nothing? No, everything comes from something. And that something came from something. And that something came from something. And if you can go back until you come to that something that doesn't come from something. You see, that is good. So, to deny God means to deny that there's a source. That everything is just here and it came out of nothing. To deny God means to assert that everything comes from nothing. But do we have... That is not scientific, because we don't have even one experience of something coming from nothing. Our experience is that everything comes from something. So to deny God's existence is most unscientific. It's not at all a cool conclusion. Cool-headed conclusion. It's a rather hot-headed, rash conclusion based on envy. So Prabhupada always told us to try to understand this Krishna consciousness philosophy with a cool brain. Very important. And he said, when we're explaining it also, we should keep a cool head also. When I joined this movement, it was 1971. I was living by a university campus, and there was a major, major university, the largest university in the USA, actually. The University of Texas at Austin. And there was one professor there who was very famous amongst the local hippies. He was a Theravada Buddhist, and he would shoot down all opposing philosophies and establish voidism. Everyone would try to shoot him down, and he would defeat them. And his classes were open to the public. Anybody who wanted to come and sit in. So he became a big celebrity among the hippies. He was promoting Buddhism, and his classes, and they were open for everyone. Everyone used to go because he, you know, word jugglery. They were impressed by his word jugglery and his voidism. So our devotees told Prabhupada about this rascal voidist, Buddhist. Prabhupada told us that we should challenge him to public debate. But he said, you must reply with cool head. So we are not meant to simply ignore all of this nonsense philosophy going on all over the world. We are meant to challenge and defeat it. That is our Krishna consciousness movement. And we know that word, Digvijaya. Just like you know that Chaitanya Leela, that Digvijaya Pandit, you all know that Leela? Yes? Keshava Kashmiri, you know that pastime. Who knows that Keshava Kashmiri pastime? Let's raise your hand if you know that pastime. Okay. So when Lord, you know that pastime. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was little young man, Nimai Pandit, at that time, he was simply a Sanskrit teacher. And he had some reputation for being very, very expert in argument and philosophy, Sanskrit. So, nowadays the big competition is who's going to be the cricket star, isn't it? here in India. We'll be the number one cricket star, right? But in those days, they didn't waste their time with frivolous sports. You know, that's there in our four principles. Do you know that fourth principle, no gambling? Prabhupada also said, no gambling and no unnecessary sporting. This ball, that ball. Prabhupada said it. It's in the Veda base, you can see. He lectured in Los Angeles, I think. No unnecessary sporting, this ball and that ball. That's okay. So, they weren't interested in ball games at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were interested in who can be the leading pundit. That was their competition, intellectual sporting. You see. So, this Keshava Kashmiri, he was traveling all over India, defeating everyone. He was very dedicated, pakka devotee of Goddess Saraswati. And she was giving him all kinds of shakti. And he was defeating everyone. Nobody could stand up against this Digvijay Pandit, Keshava Kashmiri. He was from Kashmir. Nobody could touch him in defense. So at that time, Navadvip was like the Oxford of India. It was the great seat of learning. So many learned pundits. So they heard that Keshava Kashmiri was coming. They all found some excuse to be out of town for the weekend. And they left Namai Pandit there. Oh, we'll let Namai meet him. Even if he's defeated, he was only a mere boy. So this way the reputation of the Navadvipa pundits will be saved. So, Nimai met him on the bank of the Ganges. And the Keshava Kashmiri, he wanted to immediately show what a great pundit he was. So, he spontaneously composed 100 verses of Sanskrit poetry just off the top of his head, glorifying the Ganges. Can you imagine? 100 verses of Sanskrit poetry just off the top of your head. Not writing it down, just off out of your mouth. He was so expert, Pandit. But when Lord Chaitanya, at that time Nimai Pandit, called him on the 64th verse, he was shocked. He said, "My dear Keshava Kashmiri, you have spoken very nicely, but I have a question about the 64th verse." He was surprised the boy could even remember one of the verses. And then Nimai wants to point out a literary fault in the 64th verse, and Keshava Kashmiri couldn't believe it. What he had said was Bhavani Bhartu. Bhavani, who is Bhavani? That is Lord Shiva's wife. And Bhartu means husband. So in his poetry, he had said, Bhavani Bhartu, the husband of the wife of Shiva. That is called wordiness. In poetry, if you put extra words that don't belong there, you're supposed to make poetry like sutra, you see. If you have extra words, that is considered garbage. Verbiage is garbage in poetry. Extra verbiage is garbage. So he had committed a great literary blunder by saying Bhavani Bhartu, the husband of the wife of Shiva. And Lord Chaitanya pointed it out to him. He was absolutely devastated. He knew it was a big mistake, and he couldn't believe how he could commit that mistake, how he could be caught on that mistake by a little boy. I mean, that night, actually, Goddess Saraswati revealed to him, this is your eternal Lord. He is my Lord and your Lord both. This is Krishna himself appearing as a devotee. Now you must surrender yourself and become his disciple. And he did that. So, he was called Digvijay Pandit. Digvijay means one who conquers in all directions. So Srila Prabhupada told us that we should become Digvijaya. He said, you must go village to village, city to city, town to town, and make Digvijaya. That there is God. I can prove there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on. Prabhupada said, that's how we should prove. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on. Rascal. Prabhupada wants us to be very strong with these rascals. Not let them rule the world any longer. We are not talking like Al-Qaeda, you know, weapons, and, you know, dirty terrorism. We are talking about honest philosophical discussion. That's what we're talking about. Honest philosophical discussion. Establish the truth. We must establish the truth of Krishna consciousness. Raja vidya raja ghuyam vitra nidam uttamam prachakshavagam dhanyam shushukam kritamam. We must establish Krishna consciousness as the leading educational institution on this planet. Each and every one of us must become learned professors in the science of bhakti and very, very fixed in practicing it properly. Physician, heal thyself. If you want to preach to others to become Krishna conscious, then you better be a good example yourself. I'm telling myself that too while I'm speaking it to you. It includes me too. We all must become perfect examples of Krishna consciousness. Chanting very good rounds with clear focus. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Following the four regulated principles, avoiding the 10 namaparad. Do you know that chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulated principles and being initiated is not enough to go back to Godhead? Did you know that? That's why Prabhupada always wanted the 10 offenses should be presented at the initiation ceremony. In the lecture, the initiation lecture, Prabhupada always wanted the 10 offenses to be carefully described to the new initiates. Because there's three stages of chanting. There's offensive, clearing, and offenseless. Do you think you can go back to Godhead if your chanting is offensive? Well, the chances aren't very good. We have to strive diligently to come to the level of pure chanting Krishna's name. Sincerely endeavor for it every day is our most important activity. Do you think there's something more important than cultivating Shuddha Nam? There's nothing more important. This body may die. My heart may go, I may have a heart attack, I may go deaf. So many things may happen in the body. That's going to fall apart anyway today or tomorrow. The only thing I really have going for me ultimately is how much of a taste I've developed for Krishna's name. It's the only thing I really have going for me in the ultimate issue. I may become wealthy and famous, I may become poor, unknown beggar in the street. That doesn't make very much of a difference ultimately. What does make a difference is, have I developed taste of the pure name of Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
That's what will make us a break. So, In this way, we have to become very, very bold to stand up against this nonsense. Not only within the material society, but first and foremost, and even more importantly, where? Within our own hearts. That's where the war against Maya begins. We have declared war against this Kali Yuga. We want to put a stop to the Kali Yuga. So where is the first battlefield? Right there in your heart. That is the first battlefield. You must win the battle of Advaita Chandra Das. Yeah. The first battlefield is your own heart. That's right. Everyone has their own battle of Kurukshetra, their own battlefield of Kurukshetra. It's to battle it out with the material nature which has taken residence in your heart. And then, to the extent that you have successfully conquered the Maya within your own heart, Krishna will empower you to help others to conquer the Maya in their hearts. That is called preaching. We are meant to become empowered preachers who can make this entire planet into what? A place to sleep? No. Of course, everyone gets their chance to sleep. Not during the class. A place of no anxiety, Vaikuntha. So we can ask now if there's any questions and speak up. Because I am hard of hearing. Speak clearly. Any questions? Don't be shy.
They are starting the lecture. Isn't it scientists and religious, or science and religious? Every time we are blaming science and religious, scientists are blaming on religious people. Religious people are blaming one scientist. I have two sentences. What is your opinion on that two statements? I would like to hear.
On which?
On science and religious.
Yeah, well, actually, real science, there's no difference between real science and real religion. Actually. Science means to know things as they are, and religion means to reconnect with things as they are. Rajavit, this knowledge is the king of education, the king of science. You see. What does Krishna say? Rajavidya Rajaguyam. This knowledge is the king of science. It's the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge because it gives direct perception of the self by realization as the perfection of religion. So real religion means to see the self directly, to directly be able to experience your own identity. That's the actual meaning of religion. When you have first-hand, tangible experience of your own identity. What science course at the university will teach you who you are? They don't teach you who you are. So, science and religion are actually the same thing. And you can realize who is the individual self, namely yourself, and who is the supreme self, and what is the relationship, what are the varieties of relationships available between the individual self and the supreme self? You can have a tamasic relationship, a rajasic relationship, a sattvic relationship, or a shuddha sattvic relationship with the supreme person. What are the merits and demerits of each type of relationship? And you can choose which one you would like. You'd like to have a relationship in the mode of ignorance, denying God's existence? If you'd like to have a rajasic relationship where you use Him for your own sense gratification, God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Would you like to have a sattvic relationship where you think, I am one with the Supreme, Supreme is everything and I am everything. It's monistic hogwash. Trying to, I'm not the body, but I am Brahman. Some sort of a sattvic way of using God for your sense enjoyment. Not purely sattvic, obviously. Tinged with passion and ignorance. Pure sattva, that is bhakti. When it's completely pure sattva, that is bhakti. Shuddha sattva. So you, true science is religion, and true religion is science. The only time they divide out is when you have pseudoscience and pseudo-religion. That's when they split, and they become pseudo. But when religion is genuine and science is genuine, there's no difference, actually.
I have this sentence for whatever you comment right now. Like, when nature wants to exhibit itself, it comes under the form of invention.
Of what?
When nature.
Give me one word. It comes under the form of?
Invention.
Invention?
Yeah.
Normally we use the word invention for man-made products.
But we are discovering something which is already existing. And we are claiming that we invented or discovered something.
The nature is already there. What is the... Nothing new is actually being invented in nature. Darwin is thinking new things are being invented. But, you know, new species are coming out. Yeah, that's bogus. They're already described in the Vishnu Purana. Jalaja Navalakshani Stavara Lakshapingshati Krimayo Ruddha Sankhya Gapakshinam Dasya Lakshanam Chatur Lakshana Trinksha Lakshani Pashavaha Chatur Lakshani Manashavaha. They're already described. There's no, where is the question of invention? Everything is already there. Where is the question of invention? Some new gadget. Where is that question? No. There's no new inventions are coming out from nature. It's already there. Because you have not seen. Don't think it doesn't exist. This is the chauvinism of the so-called scientists. Because I have not seen, therefore it must not exist. Because I have not seen God, therefore God must not exist. That's stupid. Have you seen President Bush? No. But yet he exists. So if even an ordinary man can exist without your having seen him, then what to speak of the Supreme Person? These are all nonsense ideas. They are simply nonsense. Any other question? Yeah.
Just extension in the defense. Like, majority of people who are going for a science.
I didn't catch any words from that. Come a little closer. Enunciate clearly. Oh, your consonants.
The question is, like 90% of people, they are hard believer in science.
They are high?
Hard believer in science.
Strong believer in science.
They have a very strong belief in science.
Strong belief, okay.
And few of us, like few people wanting to understand what about Krishna. So it's a very discouraging situation. Like, it's a very discouraging situation. You have to you have to stay with them.
Why are you discouraged?
You have to stay with them, and like every time, like the majority is people who don't believe in God, and few people that are trying to be fixed in your path. You know what you're doing is correct, but the atmosphere outside is very negative.
But actually, if you're discouraged, it means your perception, you're not seeing things properly. It means you're covered by tamaguna. Discouragement is a symptom of tamaguna, self-pity. Oh, it's so horrible. No one's Krishna conscious. Nobody understands. That's tamaguna. Actually, you should think, I had been given a golden opportunity. When Hanuman was in Lanka, he wasn't thinking, oh, I'm the only devotee from here. Nobody understands me. You think he gonna put his tail down between his legs and walk around? Nobody understands me. Now he said, I'm going to do some nice service for Lord Ram here. I'm going to set this city on fire. So, you should think, I have been given a golden opportunity to serve Prabhupada, making a revolution in this place. I'm going to turn this place upside down. I'm going to turn the world upside down for Prabhupada. I'm going to push forward this movement. Every minute with my thoughts, my words and my deeds. I'm going to live the life of a spiritual revolutionary for Prabhupada. Actually, if you just take that spirit and that mood, then all magic will happen. Krishna is behind the scene. You have to understand, it's simply a curtain that you're seeing. This whole material existence is simply a curtain covering the spiritual sky. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he was fighting all these, there was all these mystic creations. He was being attacked by these mystic creations. And he knew it was mystic creation, and he fought very valiantly and dissipated all of it. So this whole material society, it's a curtain covering the material nature, or the spiritual nature. So why you should become so, you know, it's not the ultimate reality. You have to see beyond it. You have to learn how to see everything within Krishna and Krishna within everything. And then Krishna has blessed me with this great opportunity to be a hero by preaching, by seeing what I can do to sabotage the material philosophy and bring in a new era for the deliverance of the suffering society. One could go and live out in the country. I can go live in the country. I do my email program. I mean, I could just go stay at some, you know, like we're going to New Govardhan in Australia. I could just stay there out in the beautiful mountains with the cows and do my, you know, my internet and just so peaceful and serene. But you know what? I find that boring. I like to be where the material civilization is going on full force, so I can figure out what I can do to dismantle this materialistic philosophy. I like to see it in action so I can figure out how to counteract it. I could just live out in Fiji somewhere, you know, if I wanted to. Get some remote island, just stay in some remote Fiji island, you know. My wife is from Fiji, yeah, we could just get some remote island there. Sit out there and do emails to the satellite. You know, never come back to material society. Just live on coconuts and mangoes and papaya. You know. But, you know, they have all kinds of vegetables that you've never even seen anywhere in the head, but the vegetable called Duruka vegetable. I mean, it's amazing what they have in Fiji. There's no poisonous snakes there. Of course, the politics is bad, but if you go to a remote island where the people leave you alone, but that's boring. It's much more exciting to see the material civilization going on so you can figure out what can I do to divert these people from this madness? What can I do to bring light into this dark, chaotic madness? What can I do to just convince these people to take a Bhagavad Gita home and read it and to give a contribution? This is exciting. To be on the front line for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a golden opportunity when the whole world is full of non-devotees. It's exciting for a preacher. Be in the mood of a preacher and you become enlivened. It's like a kshatriya when he sees the enemy soldiers rushing at him. He doesn't think, I'm getting out of here. No. He thinks, wow. Look at all these enemy soldiers coming. Now's my chance. And he grabs his weapons and he goes charging into the battlefield with great enthusiasm. So you have to have the spirit of a kshatriya to stand up against this nonsense. Any other questions? Yeah.
Sometimes, start helping in teaching programs,
You
start
also
offending devotees, pride enters.
You do what?
You start offending devotees.
A youth, yeah. Now, Prabhupada told us you have to find the things they like to do and engage them in doing the things they like to do for Krishna. And then later on you introduce rules and regulations. Somehow get them addicted to serving Krishna, taking prasadam or doing some service.
Question is that when you start preaching, the pride enters into the hearts of the preacher.
The what?
Pride. The preacher becomes proud. So
yeah. Yeah, well, one has to remain humble in preaching also. If the preacher becomes proud, thinking, I'm great, I'm better than you are, because I'm a devotee and you're not, ha, 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 ha. You start thinking like that, then your preaching won't attract anyone. You have to think that actually, this person is much more qualified to be a devotee than I am. But somehow or other, I was lucky, I got the... Some devotee was kind upon me and convinced me to become a devotee. And so I have to be kind to this person. Who does?
Preaching.
Yeah, but he was talking about preaching to the youth, not amongst devotees. Preaching to the youth, not... Offending the other devotees. So the problem is not with the youth, it's with the other devotees?
You think you are better than other devotees.
Oh, it's not for the outsider. You're talking about amongst the...
Yeah.
You said the youth. You mean the youth, the ISKCON youth. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the outside youth, like the college student or something. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's called Kanishta Adhikari. Materialistic devotee thinks he's better than the others. Though the more one is advancing in Krishna consciousness, the more he feels himself lowly and fallen, and feels the other and sees how much advanced the others are. If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, your advancement will be experienced to the degree that you feel yourself very low and see the other devotees as very exalted. If you're looking around the room, you're thinking, well, this devotee has that bad quality, and this devotee has that bad quality, and this one has this bad quality, and where were you at? You're full of bad qualities. If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness very nicely, and you should look and see, this devotee has this wonderful quality, and this one has this wonderful quality, and you have to know the devotees by associating, by studying their characteristics, by hearing their preaching, by seeing how they play the madanga, by appreciating their style of bhakti. You have to learn to genuinely appreciate the devotional qualities of each and every devotee. And the more that you do that, guess what? Your heart will become like. The more you appreciate the saintly qualities of the devotees, that's how you become filled up with saintly quality. You're simply saying fall in the hearts, well, they do this nonsense, they do that nonsense, and guess what you are? You're simply nonsense. Because all you're thinking about is nonsense devotee, nonsense devotee, nonsense devotee, nonsense devotee, nonsense devotee. That means you are nonsense devotee. You're thinking great devotee, 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 great devotee. Because the disciple may say, but Gurudev, you're supposed to see that I'm a great devotee, why are you correcting me? Yeah, you cannot. The spiritual master does see his disciples as great devotees, and that's why he criticizes them. He wants them to become greater. So, if you see that there's this devotee great, that devotee great, then you become truly great devotee. How you see the others, that's how you are. So you must see the good qualities of the devotee. If you're proud, you're finished. You're not going anywhere. Pride cometh before the bloop, the fall. That's right. Pride comes before the bloop. Don't become proud. Prabhupada said, do not be puffed up. You are dealing with Krishna. He said, don't be puffed up. That is the greatest problem we have. We're so damn puffed up. Isn't it? Even though we've been, told a million and one times how faulty we are by our superiors, we're still not convinced. We're still thinking, yes, I'm very, very advanced. When we begin to finally wake up and realize what rascals we are. And just beg for the mercy of Guru and Krishna to save us from our fallen position. That's the day we'll become. Kabbe habe bolo se dinama aparara guchi shudaname ruchi kripa bole habe hridaye sansa kabbe habe bolo se dinama. You can sing it in English also. When my offense is ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine. Kambe habbe bolo se dinama When, oh, when will that day be mine? We have to hanker for that day when we actually become free of offenses. The nama-aparads are gone from our hearts. We must hanker for that day. Intensely hanker at every minute. When will that moment come to me? You see, Gauranga bolite hare pulaka shubhya. When will that opportune moment come to me that while chanting the name Gauranga, the tears flow from my eyes, you see, in this way. So anyway, we very much appreciated the wonderful opportunity to be here with you wonderful, wonderful young men who are so seriously taking up this pathway of Krishna Bhakti. We feel how much we have been blessed by your wonderful Sangha, and we hope that we are able to do something for you to encourage and enthuse you on becoming a pure devotee and creating a revolution on this planet. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.